The Gospel Lesson from Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but puts it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
This morning we are given two great images from the Sermon on the Mount to consider. Salt and light. Salt of the earth and light of the world. We understand the light image almost instinctively. Though 1,000 years of racism against the darker tones of the world has made it now a less than perfect metaphor, light shining in the darkness retains, even today, its ancient symbolic power of hope, truth, and the casting out of all evil. Salt, on the other hand, is less intuitive. We know that salt was both a preservative and also a medicine in Jesus' day. More recent scholarship suggests salt was sometimes also even used as a fertilizer. And I understand that the priests used copious volumes of salt to absorb the blood of the sacrifices in the temple. In fact, having just dined in the home of my Jewish cantor friend, Sherry Allen, on Friday night, yes, I'm still looking for sermon material on the Sabbath, I know that Jews still symbolically salt the table before they break the bread. And, of course, the Apostle Paul said, we are to have all of our conversation full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that we will know how to answer everyone when we speak to them. So light is what we shine in the darkness, and salt is what we speak with frankness. Light exposes and also reveals. Salt stings and also heals. Light is the contrast of darkness, just as salt is the converse to both bitterness and also syrupy sweetness. Jesus says we are to let our light shine so that it will be seen by others, and we are to stay just a little bit salty so we are not silenced by bitterness towards others or speaking with over sweetness towards them. I know a few people here at Broadway who are being salt and light right here and right now in these days. Yesterday, for example, yes, I'm still looking for sermon illustrations, on Saturday, a deacon, a woman no less, out there on the sidewalk of the church, breaking up and literally salting the ice on the pavement so people could walk safely into the chapel. So, just like Jesus said in the parable, the salt was thrown out and trampled underfoot. And some say, I don't believe the Bible, literally. A grown-up daughter whose salty words stung, yet also salved a dysfunctional relationship with their mother. A youth pastor putting the lamp of inclusion for all people high up on the lampstand so that everyone can see and know that they too have the light inside of themselves. And three here at Broadway, or four, and now six, or seven, or eight church ladies shining light on some of the disproportionate deaths in our county jail. Shining so much light, in fact, that on Friday I heard a county commissioner and former chair of the Arlington NAACP this very week say those church ladies are her heroes. Just some little church ladies down there shining their little light and causing good trouble. But of course, lighting a lamp can sometimes be scary and also even dangerous. An old African proverb says, those who are hiding don't light fires. And those who are in hiding don't like those who light fires either. That is why Jesus said, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil. And there are many in the world who hate the light and will not come to the light for fear that their darkness will be exposed. That, I think, is why they killed Christ. They tried to snuff out his light. But the good news is that it was too late. That the light that was true light had already come into the world, and by his light, the disciples discovered their own light also. They discovered the light of God in Christ inside of themselves, and Jesus taught them to let it shine, even, perhaps especially, in the darkness. Nearly 90 years ago, the German Lutheran pastor Martin Niemöller preached a very powerful sermon on this text about salt and light, which has profoundly shaped my reading of this text. Niemöller was the one who said about Hitler's henchmen, first they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I didn't speak up. Then they came for the socialists, and I wasn't a socialist, so I didn't speak up. Then they came for the Jews, and I wasn't a Jew, so I didn't speak up. Then finally, when they came for me, there was no one left to speak up at all. In 1936, just before they were about to come for him, and when he was finally beginning to dare to speak up, this text about salt and light came up in the lectionary. And as a part of the prayers during the service that morning, Niemöller read the list of all of the pastors who had already been arrested by the Nazis. And then after reading that long list of names, he read the gospel. And in the sermon, he said that he had noticed something that he had never noticed before. That those words, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, follow immediately after the end of the Beatitudes, where Jesus says to his disciples, and blessed are you, when people revile you and persecute you and utter all manner of evil things against you, on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, the very same way that they prosecuted the prophets, they prosecute you. Niemöller said in his sermon that he realized then for the first time that the Lord was telling his followers, you will be reviled. You will be persecuted, and you will be slandered. And then immediately he says to them, and you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus meant to tell his disciples that they had to stay salty. To not allow themselves to lose the strength of the witness of their words. And they had to keep the light, to hold fiercely to the light, even as the dark winds of an evil age tried to blow it out. They were the light of the world. They were the salt of the earth. And their salt and their light was theirs to keep. And, beloved Broadway, it's ours to keep also. It is ours to keep the salt and the light, even amidst the most trying of times. Because, as I say every Sunday morning, the world needs our light and our saltiness also. In closing, let me say two final things, giving you two final images to take home. The first comes from my father, who, when I was a boy, and we as a family would all watch the same shows together because, well, we only had one TV. Imagine that, young people. Would listen as a coach or a preacher or a general, or sometimes on a rare occasion, even a politician, would dare to tell the plain, honest truth about something. And my dad would say, that guy or that gal is pretty darn salty. It was about as high of a compliment as a West Texan could ever give. We aren't exactly gushing. And it meant this, that person there ain't afraid to tell it like it really is. And for that, I respect them. And I would say this morning that we've got a few salty people in the pews here at Broadway. And a few pretty peppery ones, too. And I do wish you to know, that you inspire me and that I respect you greatly. The other image is this. Think back on the week that we have had here in Fort Worth. It was cold and gray and dark and really quite miserable. And all of the children were stuck at home, inside, for four long days. And so were their parents. But then on Friday, the sun came out. And it was so very beautiful, and I don't know if we will have a more beautiful day all year long, because all of that darkness and gloom had been cast away, and the sun was shining, and everybody was thanking God. We, Jesus said, are the sunshine of this world. We are the rays of God's light in Christ, in us, on earth. And amidst all of the darkness that is out there, we have the light. We have the light that the world is longing for. The world needs my light, and I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and together all of God's people then say, Amen.